a real deal. I'll shoot your liver out and hand it to you.
Sky Woodward, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging out in that shop. What would you ever be doing in the shop? There's nothing there for you to, there's no reason for you to be there, right?
Nah, I'm doing oil changes and stuff.
Doing some tire rotations?
Yeah, so if anybody needs it, they can stop on by.
So you're gonna be joining today. We're gonna talk a little bit about you and Shane coming up soon. Hopefully create some awesome viral moments to sell a bunch of these packages so people watch the matchup. I guess we'll start with the first question is what are you most looking forward to with this upcoming match?
The grind and the competition. That's what I look forward to really in every match, every tournament. It's just the thing about pool, just the competition, you know, and everything's tough always. Like, never easy moment when you're playing these guys.
Absolutely not. And I think you turned a lot of heads. I mean, you've always been the bar box king, right? And there's a very, very small number of people in the entire world that are willing to take you on. Dennis was one of them. And you beat him. You beat him 120 to 115. And when I was talking to Mike,
150.
150 to 145, right? Yeah, 150 to 145. And I was talking to Mike, and Mike said that they were discussing basically like, we don't want to see one game hill for that kind of money. Let's extend this out to 200. And he was telling the story about how he went up to your father and basically mentioned it to him and was like, you know, do you think Sky would be on board for this? And he's like, man, I don't know. You're going to have to ask him, but he's going to win this match. He already came over to me and said it when he was at 115 that he was going to win this match. So I don't know. You're going to have to ask him. But so that there was probably five or six lead changes from at that point when you said that to the point when you actually did win. At one point in time, did you actually realize you were going to win that match and tell that to your dad?
I don't know, really. It was like when I ran a few at the end, and I got a lead again towards the end. Between it was like around 135, I think, and I just knew like this is it. Like I could see the finish line. Now it's time. I got to get it done. So that's probably about when I probably said something to him, but. Yeah, I mean, I never know that I'm gonna win a match like that, but it's just like have the feeling that I felt like I knew I was going to, but you never know, especially playing him. You know, Dennis is always a tough customer.
Well, Shane would know that more than anybody else, I would suppose, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they've played a few times lately. The long race before. They just played a long race this last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago. And they actually played the finals in the Houston tournament. And Dennis double-dipped him there. So Dennis had his number a little bit lately.
Yeah, Dennis has definitely had a runner. Take us through your thought process. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure you were in the booth for this when Shane and Dennis played the first time. And it was, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say it was 112 to 97. Is when the comeback started. Take us through what was going in your mind when you were watching Dennis as he was sprinting around the pool table, can't run out fast enough. What did you think about it?
Man, I don't know, it was unbelievable. I never seen Dennis in that mode, like the way he was walking around the table and the way he was or running around the table. I've never seen him like that. Like he never even stood up. He'd go to the next shot one stroke and then go to the next one stroke. It was like, man, is you ever going to make a mistake? But he just, especially playing that fast, you expect somebody to make a mistake. It's hard to play perfect when you play that fast. But, man, he played, it was unbelievable, really. The breaks were perfect. everything. And, you know, Shane made a couple mistakes at the end to let him actually, you know, make that comeback too. But I don't know. There, you can't say nothing about that. That was a, that was once in a lifetime deal, probably as close as Shane was. 112-97, if that's what it was. 15-game lead, and Dennis, or Shane only needs 8. You got to think Shane's like heavy, heavy favorite. But you know, Dennis never gave up, and that—I mean, that's one thing I always said about Dennis. Just don't matter where he's at, he just never gives up. It's just—it's crazy, like it, that he could even make that comeback.
So, was there anything watching the first or the second iteration of Shane versus Dennis that you have learned that you're going to be applying during the match against Shane?
No, not really. I watched the first one. The second one, you know, I wasn't there. It was Father's Day, so I didn't go. But the second one, I tuned in every once in a while and watched a few games or something, but didn't really watch much. Just kind of kept up with the score online. But nah, not really anything going to take into it. You know, all I can do is do me, and just got to perfect my break before the match and, you know, go from there. Because I know Shane, you know, he's going to have the breakdown also. So it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. So now we got to get into a little bit of the trash talk. I saw a quote on Facebook, and I'm blanking on where I saw it. Maybe it was Melina Mike's page, but it was something along the lines of, I practiced for about, 4 days against, or 8 days against Dennis. I think I'm only going to need to practice for 4 against Shane.
Yeah, no, I said I practiced 8 days for Dennis. I'm just going to practice 6 days for Shane. yeah, you know, shoot. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's weird. You know, I haven't been playing much, and I wasn't playing before I played Dennis either. But I feel better. I feel better now than I did even when I played Dennis, and I haven't really played, but I feel better now, but that's probably going to be accurate about 6 days, because it's 10 days before, and I'll probably have a couple days I'll just spend with my family, so it probably will be 6 days, honestly. But it'll be all right.
I was going to say that's some major trash talk, I guess. If you end up winning this out of that, that's incredible. Is that a testament, do you think, to your talent, or what do you think that is there, that you can just play for 6 days and play against one of the world's best?
I don't know. Just the mentality when I go in, I'm more fresh-minded, I guess you could say, because I haven't been just training, you know, so my mind's not just strictly full and I'm not burnt out or nothing. So when I just play like 3 or 4 days, 5 days, man, I don't know. I feel so good. Like, honestly, when I went after the World Pool Masters, when I got beat by Alex Kazakis, I got food poisoning, but that's no excuse. I just lost. But if after that, I came home for the 6 days between, and then flew back for the World Nine Ball, my cue never left my case or my suitcase. So I didn't hit a ball when I went back to the World Pool Championships. And, you know, I hit balls for about 40 minutes the night before the tournament and started the next day. And I played great all through the event. But it's just like, it's nice to have that break. And, like, since then, I got stuck in Houston on the way home. I was actually coming home. I got stuck in Houston and played the tournament there. I didn't do good. I mean, I was so worn out from traveling and all that. I just, you know, I didn't play great, and that's why I lost. But ever since I've been home from there, I haven't hit a ball till actually today.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about you and Shane actually now. How are you feeling going in? You said you're feeling pretty good about it. Obviously, you don't go into a match like this thinking you're going to lose, but how are you feeling about actually the prospects of winning going into this?
And what we were just saying about the 8 days and the 6 days, the trash talk. You know, sometimes you just gotta say something like that and set it up to where if you win, it's even better. You know, then you can really say something. Like Shane's a friend of mine, so especially after if I win, I can really say something. But yeah, the match, it's gotta be tough. It's freaking Shane Van Boning, and honestly, if you have my opinion, Timball, I'd honestly rather play him 9-ball or 8-ball. I ain't gonna lie, but you know, Timball is what it is, because he breaks so good, Timball. So I think honestly, he's probably gonna be the toughest player for me to play Timball on the bar table. I think he's gonna be the toughest match I can play.
And like you said, you gotta kind of set it up, right? So if you lose, or if you win, you gotta set it up. But if you know that goes both ways. So now Shane is saying, you know, he's gonna bring some shears along with him. If he wins, what's gonna happen?
He can't cut my hair. I'll put this out there. You make sure everybody hears this one. He wanted to cut my hair, and I made him probably 10 offers. He had to put something up against it. He wouldn't make one bet against it. So he cannot cut my hair.
What were the offers?
So Shane has no kahunas.
well, we got to hear some of the offers before we find out if he has any kahunas.
None. I told him he could put money up against it. I told him he would have to wear a mullet wig through Moscone. I don't know. I made him a few other stupid offers, but he just wouldn't. He wouldn't do nothing against it.
Well, a mullet wig, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Watch him shave his head
bald. I told him he could shave it bald. Nothing.
Well, for the rest of us that are sweating this action at home, I think I would. I think I'd rather watch Shane lose just so that we could see whatever you guys had concocted for that. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, right. Dude, I tried. I told him he would have to wear the wig and Moscone's. Nope, he won't do any of it. I said you just put a little bit of money against it. He didn't. That's fine too. You can do that. And nope, he don't want to put anything against it. So nope, no bet. He can't cut my hair. It don't matter, man. I don't plan on losing anyways, you know.
So if you lost, let's say 150 to 60, you wouldn't just cut it off just because?
Golly, dude. I mean, you gotta give me a little credit here. Nope.
I just want you to start sweating at 59, just like this is the finish line. This is what I really need to get to. From there, it's just coasting.
Yeah, no. No, I wouldn't cut it.
Do you have any timetable on when you're ever going to cut it?
Don't know. I don't know. Nah, honestly, I want my kid to have a mullet, and I want to get a picture of both of us with a mullet, and then I'll probably cut it.
And then you'll probably cut it? Have you probably started growing your kid's mullet yet?
I got him a haircut already once, but it was the back of his hair was still too thin. So no mullet yet, but it's getting a little thicker. But I think he'll have to have one more haircut before he starts growing a mullet, which is going to be a while probably. So maybe I'll right. I don't know. It's long. It's long now. My mullet's long, so I'll probably have to trim it soon and then keep it going.
All right. So here's kind of a passing of the torch question for you. I think it's not really too controversial to say that Shane Van Boning has been the best U.S. player for the last 20 years. You know, maybe towards the end, you can start arguing, you know, 15 to 20 years ago, but certainly for the last 15 years, nobody has been better than Shane. And if you want to make any argument in the last few years, you could start to say that based off of a couple of tournament finishes, the Whirlpool Masters, you've done very well in the World 9-ball. You had deep runs in, and of course on the Moscone Cup, you have two MVPs in the same amount of time. He's never had one, and you've had two now. Do you think that if you win this, that we are basically passing the torch on who the best U.S. pool player is?
I don't know. You know, man, everybody's got their opinion who's the best in America, who's the best in the world, but can't say it's passing the torch. I mean, I guess you could say, if I win, you could still say, yeah, I'm the best bar table player for sure. But nah, I wouldn't just say it's passing the torch just because it's a personal opinion. Everybody's got their own. So I don't know. I mean, I could feel right now I'm the best American, but you know, to a lot of people I might not be. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a coin flip. I think whoever's going to play better that day, whoever's going to break better, get a couple rolls, I feel like will win. So I don't know. I mean, you still have to say Shane is the best. Look at what he's done, but I feel like I don't have the titles, but I feel like I play like that. So I don't know, but we'll see what happens on the bar table.
Yeah. And if you were to create like a resume of the games, right? So if you were to say bank pool, I think with your success in bank pool, I would think that most people would argue that you're a better banks pool player. If you're not up the bar table, that would be another one. One pocket. I mean, Shane doesn't really like pockets, one pocket. So it's kind of, you know, weird to put that one in there. As far as the nine ball competitions, I mean, you guys have never had a big matchup in nine ball really, but as far as the performances that you've put out there in nine ball events, it's just as good, or maybe even, you know, a little bit better than Shane's. Is that the next game, do you think, that you could play him on his big table nine ball to see if you can notch one more game in your column of the best players?
Yeah. I mean, maybe eventually, but you know, as of right now, I'm thinking about one match. So, I mean, but yeah, maybe eventually that's what, maybe we could do something like that, but just have to wait till down the road and see what happens.
Perfect. And so the last question we'll have for you, give us a prediction. What do you think? What's the score? What do you think the final result is going to be?
I'm going to say 150.
That's a good place to start.
Two. $125.
That's a good margin. On bar tables, I mean, you could have giant swings. That even 25 games on the bar table isn't a huge number, but that's a comfortable cushion. I like it.
Yeah, I feel better than when I played Dennis, so I feel like I can, you know, I can, those couple mistakes I did make here and there, I feel like they might not happen this time.
Gotcha. Well, Sky, this has been a pleasure. I will let you get back to attempting to convince yourself to practice. Is that a pretty accurate way of rounding that up?
Yeah, pretty accurate.
That's perfect. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Guy, and good luck next week. I'll be seeing you there.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. See you there.
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've liked what you've heard and you want to contribute to the future content that will be made, consider joining the podcast's Patreon at www.patreon.com/queueitup. Becoming a Patreon of the podcast will help to create all of the future content that the podcast will have. Special shout out to Dave Peters, Aaron Taylor, Pete Silsby, Morgan Lupton, Ben Young, Robert Miller, Andy Morse, and Bill Pelham for your generous contributions to the podcast's Patreon. If you ever need any more information on what the Patreon system is or how you can contribute outside of the Patreon, please reach out to the podcast or Nate himself. If you would like to contribute to the podcast for free, consider sharing any podcasts or the podcast page on Facebook itself. Also, leaving a review and a rating if you listen through iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode of the Cue It Up podcast.